Having had such a special moment in that beautiful mosque with the nice young Indian man, I found the club stifling. The third act of Cousin Kate was well advanced. The heat was immense, and so I headed into the billiard room.
I want to see the real India.
Adela Quested, the queer, cautious girl whom my son Ronnie had commissioned me to bring from England. He and Adela would probably, though not certainly, marry.
I want to see it too, and I only wish we could. Apparently the Turtons will arrange something for next Tuesday.
Oh, it will end in an elephant ride. It always does. But where have you been off to? Did you succeed in catching the moon in the Ganges?
We had made such a romantic voyage across the Mediterranean and through the sands of Egypt to the harbour of Bombay, to find only a gridiron of bungalows at the end of it. But I did not take the disappointment as seriously as Adela, because I was 40 years older and learned that life never gives us what we want at the moment that we consider appropriate. Adventures do occur, but not punctually.
I went to the mosque, but I did not catch the moon. Ah, I think the show has finally ended.
Thank goodness for that.
It was the anthem of the Army of Occupation. It reminded every member of the club that he or she was British and was in exile. Like my son, Ronnie.
Adela, have a drink. Mother, have another.
Thank you, but no, Ronnie.
I'm weary of drinking. What I want to see is the real India.
Fielding, how is one to see the real India?
Try seeing Indians.
Who was that?
Our schoolmaster, Government College. Ah, Mrs. Callender, Mrs. Turton.
Did I hear correctly? You want to meet Indians?
As if one could avoid seeing them.
Well, I've avoided them. Excepting my own servant, I've scarcely spoken to an Indian since landing.
Oh, but lucky you.
But I want to see them.
Oh. Natives. Oh, I fancy.
Sounds positively ludicrous.
I was a nurse before my marriage and came across them a great deal, so I know. I mean, I really do know the truth about Indians. One's only hope was to hold sternly aloof,
even from one's patients.
Why, the kindest thing one can do to a native is to let him die.
How if he went to heaven, Mrs. Callender?
Well, he can go where he likes as long as he doesn't come near me. Oh, they give me the creeps.
You really want to meet the Aryan brother, Miss Quested? That can be easily fixed up. I didn't realise he'd amuse you.
Not amuse. That sounds a little callous, Mr. Turton.
You can practically see any type you like. Take your choice. I know the government people and the landowners. Heslop here can get hold of the barrister crew.
Yes.
While if you want to specialise on education, we can come down on Fielding.
I'm tired of seeing picturesque figures pass before me as a frieze. It was wonderful when we first landed, but that superficial glamour soon goes.
Would you ladies like a bridge party? Oh,
I'm afraid, Mr. Turton, I don't care much for card games.
Not the game, but a party to bridge the gulf between East and West. The expression is my own invention.
An excellent expression, sir.
I only want to meet those Indians whom you come across socially, as your friends.
Goodness me! We don't come across them socially.
Heavens above, what a thought!
It is very good of you to show my mother and Adela such wonderful hospitality. A bridge party!
I'll make the arrangements. It's late. Time to head home. Heslop, Mrs. Moore, yes. Adela, I bid you good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
It is very decent of the great man. I wish I could have arranged something myself, but when you know the natives better, you'll realise it's easier for the Barra Sahib than for me. They know him. They know he can't be fooled. I'm still fresh, comparatively. Shall I fetch your cloak, Mother? You look tired.
Yeah. I was tired, and the club had stupefied me.
Miss Quested. What a name.
You did not take to the young lady.
No, I did not. Most ungracious and cranky.
Hush now. Darling.
I trust she hasn't been brought out to marry nice little Heslop.
Rather looks that way.
Such an awkward thing.
Miss Quested naturally made mistakes, but India does wonders for the judgment, especially during the hot weather. It has even done wonders for Fielding.
Fielding? He is certainly not Pucker, so he had better marry Miss Quested, because she isn't Pucker either.
Sahib? Sahib?
Let's get home, dearest.
Oh,
I woke up outside as I watched the moon, whose radiance stained with primrose the purple of the surrounding sky. In England, the moon had seemed dead and alien. Here, I was caught in the shawl of the night together with Earth and all the other stars. A sudden sense of unity, of kinship with the heavenly bodies passed into me and out like water through a tank, leaving a strange freshness behind.
Oh, look! The mosque. Doesn't it look peaceful? That's where I got to.
When?
Between the acts.
But, Mother, you can't do that sort of thing.
Can't, Mother?
No, not in this country. It's not done. There's the danger from snakes, for one thing.
So the young man said.
You met a young man in the mosque and he never let me know. That sounds very romantic. Is he nice?
Very nice.
Who was he?
A doctor. I don't know his name.
What? I don't know of a doctor in Chandrapur. What did he look like?
Small, handsome, with a little moustache and quick eyes. He called out to me when I was in the dark part of the mosque about my shoes. That was how we started talking. He was afraid I had them on. He told me about his children and then walked me back to the club. He knows you well.
I wish you had pointed him out to me in the club. I can't make out who he is.
He said he wasn't allowed in the club.
Oh, good gracious. Not a Mohammedan. You were talking to a native.
A Mohammedan? How perfectly magnificent. Ronnie, isn't that like your mother? While we talk about seeing the real India, she goes and sees it and then forgets she's seen it.
He called to you in the mosque, did he? How? Impudently? What was he doing there himself at that time of night? It's not their prayer time. Trickery?
Not trickery. Maybe impudence. His nerves were all on edge, I could tell from his voice. As soon as I answered, he altered.
Oh, well, really, Mother. Oh, look. There's your Ganges.
Our attention was diverted. Below us, a radiance had suddenly appeared. It belonged to neither water nor moonlight, but stood like a luminous sheaf upon the fields of darkness.
What is that?
It's where the new sandbank is forming. The dark raveled bit at the top is the sandbank. The dead bodies flow down the river from Benares, or would if the crocodiles let them. It's not much of a body that gets down to Chandrapur.
Crocodiles down it too. What a terrible river. What a wonderful river. I've just remembered. The young doctor said he worked at Minto Hospital.
Oh, that's Dr. Aziz.
Aziz?
What a charming name.
He's quite all right. So you and he had a talk. Did you gather he was well-disposed?
Yes, quite.
Did he seem to tolerate us? The brutal conqueror, the sun-dried bureaucrat, that sort of thing?
Yes, except he doesn't much care for the calendars.
The Major will be interested.
Ronnie, you're never going to pass it on to Major Calendar.
Yes, I think I should.
No, you can't.
A private conversation.
Nothing is private in India. He abused the Major to impress you.
So what?
That is the educated native's latest dodge. Swaggering, a show of manly independence. Oh.
I don't understand.
There's always something behind every remark the natives make. If nothing else, he's trying to increase his izzet, in plain Anglo-Saxon, to score.
You never used to judge people like this at home.
India isn't home.
You really mustn't tell Major Calendar.
It would be a betrayal of my trust, and besides, I like Dr. Aziz.
I won't say anything, all right? Just both of you, stop talking about him.
The collector kept his word and issued invitation cards to numerous Indian gentlemen and their womenfolk in the neighbourhood. But the bridge party was not a success.
My husband will be up from his office in a moment and start the thing. I have no idea what we have to do.
What do you think, Adela? The great point to remember is that no one who's here matters. Those who matter don't come. Isn't that so, Mrs. Turner?
Absolutely true.
Most of the people you see here are seditious at heart, and the rest have run squealing.
I refuse to shake hands with any of them. Why they come at all, I don't know. I mean, they hate it as much as we do.
Do kindly tell us who those ladies are. You are superior to them. Don't ever forget that. You're superior to everyone in India. Except one or two of the Ranis, and they are on an equality.
Miss Quested now had her desired opportunity. Friendly Indians were before her, and she tried to make them talk. But she failed. She strove in vain against the echoing walls of their civility.
Please tell the ladies that I wish we could speak their language, but we've only just come to their country.
I was equally unsuccessful. Mrs. Turton waited for us with a detached expression. She had known what nonsense it all was from the first.
The shorter lady, she is my wife. She is Mrs. Bhattacharya. And the taller lady with my sister, she is Mrs. Das.
Mr. Bhattacharya, how good of you to come. Aren't the gardens looking wonderful this time of year? The Mem Sahib has been torturing the gardener over the roses. She's very particular.
Meanwhile, the collector had been going his rounds. He made pleasant remarks and a few jokes. But at the proper moment, he retired to the English side of the lawn. After Mr. Turton, the official who did his duty best was Mr. Fielding, the principal of the little government college.
Ah, Mr. Bowes, I do like your cravat. You look very smart. I feel rather underdressed. Food is delicious.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Don't mind if I do.
Athletic and cheerful, he romped about, talked to anyone and ate anything. When the refreshments came, he stayed on the Indian side of the lawn.
I say, Miss Quested, I wonder if perhaps you might like to come to tea at my place.
I'd like to come very much indeed, and so would Mrs. Moore, I know.
I'm rather a hermit, owing to my work and so on. I don't get on much to the club.
And we never get down from it. I envy you being with Indians.
Would you like to meet one or two?
Oh, please. This party today makes me so angry and miserable. I think my countrymen out here must be mad. Fancy inviting guests and not treating them properly. They make me perfectly ashamed.
Fielding resented his fellow countrymen's behaviour too. But he did not say so to the girl, for he found something theoretical in her outburst.
Do you care for Indian music? There's an old professor down at the college who sings.
Oh, just what we wanted to hear. Do you know Dr. Aziz?
Well, I know all about him. I haven't met him, but I could ask him along too. Will this Thursday suit?
Perfect.
No, I won't ask the city magistrate to bring you. I know he'll be busy at the time.
Yes, Ronnie is always hard worked.
Miss Quested glanced at the distant Marabar Hills, which had crept near, as was their custom at sunset. How lovely they were. But she couldn't touch them. In front, like a shutter, fell a vision of her married life. She and Ronnie would look into the club like this every evening, then drive home to dress. They would see the calendars, the Turtons and Burtons, and invite them and be invited by them. Colour would remain. The pageant of birds in the early morning. Brown bodies, white turbans, and idols whose flesh was scarlet or blue. Perched up on the seat of a dog cart, she would see them. But the force that lies behind the colour and movement would escape her even more effectually than it did now. She would see India always as a frieze, never as a spirit.